Succession number 19047, Reel 2.
Okay, so that's Frank Brody, Realto.
Yeah.
Frank, you were just talking about Maltby, weren't you, and the river crossing there?
Yeah. Anyway, the whistle blows, a lot of these lads dive in the river, and the next thing was you could see where heads coming up and going down and coming up and going down.
Yeah.
Dive bloke diving in and dragging them out.
Yeah.
They dumped the equipment off and dived in and dragging them out, and I'm having an argument with this officer of ours, platoon commander, and he looked at me and he says, I'll have you inside. I said, I'll tell her where it is, at least I'll be dry and alive. Do what they want. Anyway, when it were all over, we all went back to our barracks and this lad had lost his mate. Two Manchester lads they were. I can't, you know, it's terrible, is this, trying to remember bloody names.
No, it's very hard, Frank.
Anyway, there were two great lads. The wrestlers, actually, one on them had been, and the other lad were a boxer. But they were two great lads. They were in the same platoon as me. And he gets back to barracks, and eldest on them, they were breaking his heart. His mate had drowned. He'd gone down and never come up. Next thing, he collars a brand gun and he's off. Mick. Andrews.
Okay.
Mick Andrews. He's off. And I turns around and shouts for Jono. Jono, Mick's gone. He's stuck bloody brand gun with him. Get out. Come on. And we chased after him and he's off up Malton Town Centre with his brand gun under his arm, magazine and lot. We were going to shoot bloody at CO.
Officer.
Yeah.
The officer that told him to cross the river?
Yeah. They were after him. And they were about six on us chased after him and dragged him down and took gun off him and took him back.
So what you're saying there, Frank, is that the men blamed the officer totally for these kids that died, men that died.
Yes.
Because of his planning or his non-planning or...
Well, it was so ridiculous. You know, every one man jack of us that were there, when it was all over, there one of us that would have refused if it had been somewhat we had to do, you know, in battle. We would have found a way across somewhere, but we wouldn't have dived in fully equipped to go across that damn river. So everybody in the battalion blamed that man.
Did they put any ropes across? Did they put any ropes across?
Nothing. Not a thing. There wasn't even life people there as lifesavers. It were just the battalion lined up along the riverbank in.
Did they test the river before?
No. There were nothing at all done. The first thing we knew about it was to march down to the river and tell on the riverbank that what we were there for. And when I blow this whistle, you go.
How many died there, Frank, do you know?
I think there were about six or seven. I'm not sure. And I know Mick Andrews, Arthur Lloyd, his mate, died, and his wife had a child a couple of weeks before, and were due to go on leave at weekend to see her. Arthur Lloyd and Mick Andrews. Arthur Lloyd drowned.
So, when they went after this officer with his brain gun, you grabbed the man with the brain gun?
Yeah.
So, obviously, didn't find the officer.
No.
What happened to the officer?
I can't remember, actually.
Did he stay with the East Lancs, or...?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I can't remember. It's just gone. Whether he left the battalion or not, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Was there any inquiry afterwards?
No.
Or any
no.
Nothing spoken?
Nothing. About? Nothing said about it at all. It was just casualties of war.
Yes.
There were not so many casualties in training, were they?
I imagine
during
so.
The war.
I imagine so.
There's something naughty.
Yeah. So that was Maltby.
Yeah.
Any other places you can remember during this 4-year period, Jim? You mentioned North Allerton, Maltby.
Malton, North Allerton.
Malton, yeah.
We were down south. You know, I can't.
Were you on any, what I would term to be, like defensive lookout duties around the coast?
Oh, yes, aye. New Brighton.
Yes?
Yeah, New Brighton just after Dunkirk, that was, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know, because I'm just thinking...
A while after Dunkirk.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking that when you came back from Dunkirk,
yeah,
for a while there was a worry that the Germans might...
That's right, and we were down at New Brighton, yeah. They were all barbed wired and mined, or all the beaches were mined. See, dogs running about up beach.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think somebody else mentioned you were in a place called Leon Sea.
That's right, yeah. In actual fact, there were a aircraft plowed into one of the hotels at back of us.
Mm. Where when you were down there?
Yeah. Mm. Whether it were German or what, I don't know, but I can't remember that. I remember this aircraft coming in and bumping, landing on these hotels at back of us.
Were you getting re-equipped during that 4-year period, Frank?
Yes, actually we was. This is when we started off with anti-tank. We were at Malton when we started with anti-tank guns.
Right.
On a place called Orchard Fields.
Mm-hmm.
That was support company.
Mm-hmm.
And... we started off with these 2-pounders. I think they were obsolete at the time we got them, actually. And shortly, a while after, we got 6-pounders.
So at this stage, your training changed a bit?
Yes.
You went on to guns, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went on to these anti-tank guns from infantry job, like.
So you became a gunner, did you? Or?
Yeah.
Firing one of these 2
That's right,
guns.
Yeah.
Mm.
It had all round. You took wheels off it and it stood on a tripod, if you will, this 2-pounder.
Mm.
And it had all round vision, like, if you...
Mm. How was it carried? Was it hooked onto the back of a lorry or something?
No, it were hooked on the back of a carrier.
A carrier?
A brand carrier.
Right. So... you were no longer in
infantry.
D company.
No,
you were in
support company.
In support company.
Yeah.
And the times, I presume, the times getting on a bit, isn't it? Because
yes.
You came back in 40, Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Now we know 44 is D-Day June.
Yeah.
But the build up. Can you remember the build up to that and what was happening?
Oh, we did some terrific big. Schemes, like, you know.
Yeah.
And we went out in up moors and all over, firing out to sea with guns and all that.
More training.
Yeah, we did a heck of a lot of training at that point in time.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we go forward to D-Day itself, which was the 6th.
Well,
of
we
June,
moved down
it?
South then.
Mm.
We moved down south. Well, we're stationed down there a few months down south.
Mm.
We were actually bombers coming over and these doodle bugs and everything, you know.
Yeah, you remember the doodle bugs?
Yeah.
They were the V1s, weren't they?
Yeah.
The doodle bugs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they were landing round us in that area, like these things.
Yeah.
Can't remember name of the place we were at.
Because the country then, particularly the southern part of the country, was... chock-a-block with soldiers, wasn't it?
Yes.
Whether it was English soldiers or Canadians or
Americans, everything. Yeah. They were all up round here, like Americans.
Around Preston?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So when the news came through that D-Day had happened, June 6th, can you remember how you felt? And
well, Montgomery come to visit us. As I remember, Montgomery come to visit. We're in this big field, and Montgomery come to visit us and give us a lecture on where we were going for this day-to-day job. And shortly after that, we moved out, and we were down on Tilbury Docks.
Yeah, you didn't know at that stage whether you were going the day after D-Day or three weeks after D-Day.
No, we didn't know. They just told us it would be shortly, that's all. And we moved out and down to Tilbury Docks, and we were under canvas on Tilbury Docks.
Yeah.
And then we boarded these Liberty ships, or something they call it.
Yeah, I think the American ones were called Liberty ships, weren't they? Well, you boarded them with your guns and your
carriers. With guns and everything,
yeah.
And we were sat off Brighton. We could see Forecourt Beach. We were sat out there for about a week or so.
Right.
And then we sailed off for these landings.
Because I think you landed about, I can only guess, but it's about June the 24th. That sort of day, approximately, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What about the journey going over the channel? What did you see? Can you remember much of that?
Not a lot. Mm. Not a lot. We had to stay down below all the time, mainly. I mean, it wouldn't do for us all to be milling about our decks, like, would it?
No.
So we were kept down below.
Was it night time?
Well, it were day and night. It wasn't just a straight journey. We were hanging about here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we'd move off for a while.
Yeah.
when we finally got there, it were a bit chaotic. There were these great big pontoon rafts, and they had a couple of outboards up back on them. And we lowered with guns and everything over the side of these ships onto these rafts, and then onto the shoreline.
Oh, that's how they got. So you were down in the hold of these Liberty ships or something.
Yeah.
And they were being lifted out by a crane or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the side and onto a raft.
On these rafts, and then we sailed off into oblivion.
Into oblivion. Well, back into France.
Yeah.
After leaving France four years earlier. By a slightly different place. Because you landed, I think, again, the book says, in a place near to Courseulles, something like that, I think.
Well, as I know it, we're June off.
Yeah.
What
about the site when you got off there onto the beach?
Well, there wasn't a lot to see, actually.
Wasn't much signs of battle around?
Well, there were signs of that. There were boats and things sunk round us, and there were mines floating about and all sorts, you know. Dead bodies. We just got off as quick as we could, and up into Sandhills and away. Our next stop were L112, overlooking Caen.
Yes. There's another place it's about that time. I think you spent some time around a place called Bougie, which wasn't far from Hill 112. But what do you remember of that place, that area of Hill 112 then?
I remember sitting on top of it, watching a 1,000 bomber raid going in. Looked like houses going up its sky and everything.
This was when they were bombing Caen?
Yeah. That was a hell of a bad news. And prior to us getting on top, like, there were all these dead tanks all over the place. Churchill's, these tin canisters. Blasted. Turrets off and God knows what. Bodies hanging out at turrets and you name it, there were everything there.
Were they burnt?
Oh yeah. They were burnt out shells. There were bodies everywhere.
Because there was a lot of tank action around the Hill 112, wasn't there?
Oh yes, there was a heck of a lot. Yes, a heck of a lot. In fact, I think it was still going on when we were coming up to it, like, you know.
You were, at this stage, you were part of 53rd Welsh Division.
That's
or
right.
Or were you an independent brigade at that stage?
53rd was an independent brigade.
But yeah, but you eventually became part of the 53rd Welsh Division, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you first went over, went over as an independent brigade or something.
I think that's what it that diamond thing I'm on about. Like a red diamond with a white diamond centre.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure.
You know, I can remember that insignia distinctly, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Yeah.
I know we were in some independent brigade.
Yes. And that was the early part when you first went over, I think.
Yes.
And then early
we amalgamated into that.
53rd Welsh.
Yeah.
Early in France. So, Hill 112, that's around, because you went over in June, and this must be, I don't know, maybe July time of 44.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're an experienced soldier at this stage, aren't you?
A bit like I.
But there are a lot of people with you that hadn't seen any of this before.
Oh, there was I.
There was.
There was a lot of people with us that hadn't seen any.
So did they look to you?
Well, they did. They did. They sort of relied on us. They did.
But there weren't too many of you, I don't think, Jim. Were there people that had actually been at that?
No. No, there wasn't.
No.
There were only odd ends of us.
Yeah. So after that fighting around Hill 112, which was very heavy fighting for a period of time, do you remember where you would have gone to next? Or where?
You know, I can't remember where we went to from there, but I got wounded later on.
Tell me where you got wounded, and I'll try and help you out with...
I can't even remember that.
What, where you got wounded?
No. Because I got a piece of shrapnel in my knee.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was on a motorbike, directing traffic. And I rode for miles on this motorbike till my knee came up like a balloon.
Yeah.
And I found this camp, a tent, Red Cross tent, and pulled in there and fell off bike at front of one of these tents.
Was this early in the war, Jim?
It was after this, Hill 112.
After Hill 112?
Yeah.
Do you remember a place, because I know there's a place in Normandy called Bois-Arbeau?
No.
You don't remember being down there at all?
No, I can't remember. Names did meant nothing to us at that time.
No.
You know, we didn't get to know a lot of names of these places.
Right.
It was just a matter of keeping going and get your head down and get going and do what you have to do, like, you know.
Do you remember Falaise Gap going through any...
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Because, I'll just go back from there, because Bois-Arbeau was before Falaise Gap. It was about a week before you went through Falaise Gap. And it was a Normandy village that the battalion attacked.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to work out where you were wounded. But it must have been after Falaise Gap, presumably.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was after that.
Yeah. Okay. So what can you remember of Falaise Gap?
I can remember seeing a lot of South Germans. Hell of a lot in this pocket.
Dead ones?
Or dead and live.
Right.
Dead and live. Falaise Gap, which strikes a chord somewhere, does this.
Well, if I remind you a little of what was happening there, because Falaise Gap was the end of the Battle of Normandy, pretty much.
Yes.
And it's where the...
We went to that.
Yeah.
To relieve Americans.
Well, the Americans were certainly around there because they were coming up from the south.
Well, we went there and we relieved, took over off Americans there, and they marched out as we were going in. Were the Americans.
Mm. But what was happening, the Germans were being bottled up there, weren't
That's
they?
That's right, yeah.
And they were being encircled, really, by yeah. the Americans and the British and Canadian forces.
That's right, yeah.
And they were slaughtered there, weren't they? The Germans were slaughtered mm. there.
They were halted. They broke through, hadn't they, further up? They broke through the main line, heading for, was it Antwerp?
Well, I think, I'll just turn this off a second. Okay, Jim, so we were just mixing up the Ardennes there a bit, weren't we? We were trying to establish when you got your injury. And it was in your knee injury, which was in France around July, August time, wasn't it? Yeah. Then what happened when you had this, you stopped your motorbike outside this tent, I think you said?
They did an operation on my knee and bundled me in an ambulance and away.
Away to where?
On board ship and back home.
Back home. Right.
Yeah. And I landed up in Nottingham.
Mm-hmm. And what was that, for further treatment on your knee?
Well, it was just bandaged up when I got back. Mm. And I was stuck in bed for a week or so, and then back out and off back.
Off back to join the battalion?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would have, yes. So how long were you in Nottingham, would you think? A week, you say?
Oh, about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks about.
Yeah.
And then back, I was sent, I think I went back to Ireland somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for how long would you have been in Ireland?
Very short while, and then out back.
Then back to?
Back to regiment.
Yeah. By which time had got as far as where? Can you remember where you joined them?
I think Helmand seems to stick in my mind.
Helmand, yeah.
And that, I think we're at Waite Corridor on that, weren't we?
Yeah, because what you're talking about now when you say corridor, you're talking about Arnhem Corridor.
That's right, yeah.
And Arnhem was about, I think, middle of September, something like that. And we know that the battalion were involved in trying to keep that corridor open.
That's right.
Wasn't it? So you were back there for that?
Yeah.
Can you remember what you were doing, what was happening there? And how did you need? Did you need heal up? Okay,
oh, right? Yeah, it did. That healed up all right. Going back, we had a lot of lads with us on the boat. It was funny. Playing soldiers. Youngins, new ones, they were raw recruits, playing soldiers up boat. So you come down to earth when we get down back yonder. Anyway, one or two of them joined our battalion. And I had one as a driver on me. Gone. His name's up tip of my tongue.
Doesn't matter, we'll come to you later, perhaps.
And it were after this corridor job that were it. We pulled out and went for a rest at Helmand.
Mm-hmm.
We had a rest period at Helmand.
Mm.
And then from there we went to, I think it was Hertog and Bosch.
Yes, I mean, you've mentioned that name now. I know the date of that. Hergenbosch was about the 23rd, 24th of October. So, yeah, from the corridor in September, October, Hergenbosch.
Yeah.
You were back on your gun at this stage, were you?
Yes, yes.
What do you remember of Hergenbosch?
Just going through town, more or less.
Was there much fighting there?
It were mainly infantry fighting, wasn't it? You know, streets of street fighting. Well, we wasn't engaged in much of that, but we did mount our guns up. And there were one or two German mobile guns,
yeah,
artillery guns, knocked out there. Johnny Johnson knocked one out. I never see any.
They're like self-propelled guns, were they? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fighting there lasted for a few days.
It lasted a few days there, yes. Mm. It did.
And there were German soldiers in the town.
Oh, yes, yeah. And there. Russian soldiers.
Oh, right.
Well, they weren't soldiers, they were displaced personnel. Mm. They had been soldiers, and these chaps, Germans had them there for labour.
Mm. Yeah.
They sort of were helping us through, mm. pointing out and telling us where they were, like, you know, mm. pointing them out for us. Mm. Germans out.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see many civilians around in the...
No, we saw civilians, yes, but they mainly kept out at way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think I would have done if I was a civilian as well.
Yes.
Keep out of the way of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of bullets flying about and what have you.
Yeah.
And they kept out at road of everything as it possibly could.
Mm. Were there any German armour in the town?
Yes, tanks. There were tanks there, yes. And these mobile guns.
But you didn't. You weren't actually involved in firing at any
No, not at these, no. No. No.
Can you remember how you got into the town? Was it on a road or...?
Well, it was. We followed a road, yes.
Yeah.
But the bridge that we crossed had been mined, been rigged up for explosives and that.
Because there is, yes, there is, a, there are rivers or something around the town.
Canals. We're all canals.
Canals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you had a few days there. Can you remember where you may have gone to after that or what happened after that? Because I know, you see, I know that around November time, when the weather was bad, foggy and damp. Yeah, can you remember?
Yeah.
And you were down on some canals, on the Mars or something.
Yeah, that's right. We did a river cross. Did we cross a river there?
Well, you were on the canals. I think it was more defensive positions down there, wasn't
it? Oh, that's right, yeah.
And for a period of time.
You know, it's...
It's an awful long time ago.
It's an awful long time ago, and it's all gone in the past. Mm. You tend to shove it into the past,
of course.
You know, back of your memory, and it's hard to fetch back.
Yes, of course it is. I know that you spent some time around the Mars and around those canals when the weather was awful with the fog and etc. And there must have been a lot of mortaring and shelling at that
stage.
But then, if we go on a bit further, because another place you mentioned earlier, you mentioned when the Germans broke through and they were going their way up towards Antwerp. Now, that was the Ardennes.
That's right, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm.
When the weather conditions had changed, it was snow and ice then, wasn't it?
A lot of mud as well.
Can you remember much about the Ardennes, Jim?
Yeah, well, I remember pulling into the forest. And they were a Canadian outfit with Neville were for things,
yeah.
Motors left of us. And we were going through what we thought was a road, but when we got into the forest, there were no road at all. It was just a sea of mud that deep. It were pushing it in front of vehicles.
Mm. It wasn't frozen at that stage?
No, no, not at that stage. No, it were all wet, soggy wet.
Mm.
And well, it were that deep in mud.
Yeah, about 3 foot, 2.5 foot deep.
Yeah, and it was just like a wave in front of the vehicle as we were pushing it forward, pushing forward.
Mm.
Anyway, when we got further into the, we mounted guns up and pulled off at the side and mounted our guns up best we could and stood by waiting. Joined our companies. We each split up to a company, were six guns, and we just split up around the companies.
Mm.
Anyway, when we got settled in, they opened up from Siegfried Line. I think there were 16 pounders or something like that. These things that were coming over, and they were hitting forest above us, splattering down, and we've got a lot of casualties there.
Yes.
With that.
Yes. Yeah.
And it were day after day with that battering away with these guns. I think we're about a week or more, weren't we, fighting our way through that?
Well, I mean, the weather. Yes, I mean, the weather got very cold in the Ardennes. Talk about the snow there and the frozen ground.
Yeah.
So the weather conditions that you remember with the mud must have been slightly earlier, just before.
We were soaked through to skin, everything. For days on end.
And was there much signs of Germans going through there, or the fighting that had happened there? Or I think you mentioned earlier about taking over from some American positions as well.
It's all mixed up.
But can you remember the taking over those American positions at all, Jim?
Well, we were way up on the hillside, looking down into a valley.